Blog Talk Radio. happy Resurrection Sunday, because he got up. The songwriter said he got up. But not only did the songwriter say he got up, the Bible said that he got up. God for Jesus. But the key, he got up. He was resurrected for each and every one of us. How blessed we are. This is Cecilia. I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Cecilia so that she can pray for us and with us for the program on today and everything else that's going on this Resurrection Sunday. Minister Cecilia, I'll turn it over to you.
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for what today represents. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you in your presence and just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever love him shall not perish. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whosoever repent and turn to him and give their life to him shall not perish. We thank you so much for dying on the cross for us, suffering all the things that you suffered, taking on all of the treatment that you took on, allowing them to disrespect you, allowing them to torture you, allowing them to do the things that they've done, that laughed at you, talked about you, accused you, when they knew that there was all a lie, when they chose wickedness and a murderer over you, oh God. But you stayed on assignment. God, we thank you for that. We come before you and we repent because we could not pay the price that you paid. It's paid in full. You did not turn to us and say, I have a receipt that shows you owe me. God, you paid it in full. You took on the sins of the world. You became sin that your Father wouldn't even look at you. He turned his head from you. We thank you for knowing that you did that for us, oh God. That on today, God, we would get a chance to come back and celebrate the resurrection of your life. God, I just ask that everyone that has an opportunity, whether it's your first time, your next time, or your last time, that you know today you can repent and go before God and say, God, we just want to say to you again, I repent. Accept my repentance, O Lord. God, we're just so happy that you're going to give us an opportunity for family members to get together on today. Those of us that's cooking, God, give us a chance to cook and not get burned or burn up the food or do whatever we do. But we would transfer our food back and forth, oh Lord. We would go to visit with one another, excuse me, whether it's the church first and then get with the family later, whether it's the homes or restaurants. But whatever we're doing, oh God, we ask you for traveling mercy. We ask you to cover each and every last one of us, God, that we get where we're going safely. We get back home safely. We have fun and with the family, and we give honor and praise and glory and acknowledgement to you, oh God. God, we just want to say, God, don't let today be a day that we don't acknowledge and recognize who you are, whom today represents, the reason for today's representation. God, we thank you that you've given us ears to hear what the woman of God is going to minister on today. We thank you for giving us an appetite to hear, receive, accept, and feed on the message on today, oh God. God, for when we don't know what to say, oh God, teach us how to just ask you for the words to say, God, bless our going out, bless our coming in, oh God. Whether it's going out into the house of the Lord, coming into the house of the Lord, going out of our house or going into another house, a restaurant, family members or whatever. But God, we just ask you for today that you get the glory, the honor, the praise. You get the worship that's due unto you, oh God. God, we thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing. God, let your word pierce our heart. Let your word get buried in our heart. Let your word penetrate our heart. Let it just stay in our minds. Let it ring in our ears. Let conviction come where it may, oh God. But we don't know what the word is on today, but God, whatever it is, we know it's holy. And we thank you. Bless every home. Bless every person. Bless every soul. So let your word do what it's set out to do on today. It won't come back void. And we just thank you for everything, oh God. As we stayed up late at night cooking, let all of our food on today, God, be blessed. Whether we made it or we're preparing for it, God, we just ask you right now to bless, bless, bless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sylvia. Well, we've been on this series talking about envy. Didn't know it was actually going to be a message that would lead up to today. And who knows, it may even go on even longer than that. But let's do part four of envy. But if I had a name for the message on today, it would be envy fulfilled their assignment to escort Jesus to the cross. My, 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 my. Matthew 27 and 18, the Berean Literal Bible says, for he knew that they had delivered him up through envy. The King James Bible version says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. New King James Version says, for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Same verse again. New American Standard Bible says, for he knew that it was because of envy that they handed him over. The Amplified Version said, for Pilate knew that it was because of jealousy that the chief priests and elders had handed Jesus over to him. Now let's read verses 17 through 19. And it's dealing with the crowd choosing Barabbas instead of Jesus. So when the crowd had assembled, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: have nothing to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered terribly in a dream today because of him. Even his wife was haunted by a dream because of the assignment of envy to murder, to mock, to crucify an innocent man that we call Jesus. But see, although jealousy and envy escorted Jesus to the cross, they meant it for evil. But God used it to restore mankind back to himself. Isn't it amazing how God has told us about the seven deadly sins that, you know, just reign in human nature: pride, greed, wrath, lust, gluttony, sloth, and envy. Those are the deadly sins that haunt and dwell in the flesh of humankind. Remember, envy is a sin of jealousy over the blessings and achievements of others. Envy is an emotion that occurs when a person lacks another quality, skill, an achievement, or a possession, or wishes that someone else has that they lack. Aristotle said that envy is a pain at the sight of another's good fortune, stirred by those who have what we think we ought to have. I put think in there. He didn't say that. Bertrand Russell said that envy was one of the most potent causes of unhappiness. My. He said it's the most potent. So God has given us examples in the book of Genesis all the way to Revelations and even into our lives today of examples of envy. Take a pause. Think of the envy that has been in your life. What is that envy escorting you to? What is that God, divine assignment that God is allowing envy to escort you to? Jesus completed his. Because he died on the cross, he rose again. And when he rose, humankind had the opportunity to be restored and reconciled back to God. But see, envy in the life of Jesus, Pharisees and those Sadducees, they just, they was jealous. And it led to the death of our Messiah. But see, even Webster in the Merriam Dictionary says that envy is painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another with a desire to possess that same advantage or that object that's causing you to have envious notice and feelings. And yet even the Bible says envy is a work of the flesh, an evil practice that causes disorder. My. See, some scholars and writers suggest that Jesus and his whole family had issues. But the main thing that some scholars and writers said was that Jesus' family, his followers, and everybody considered him to be delusional and insane. And yet Jesus and his ministry and his actions divinely inspire us. So what mankind may call delusional and call insanity is because they've been leaning to their own understanding and not to the divinity and the deity of our God. See, even when Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil tried to destroy his focus on what his God assignment was. Because in the wilderness, after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So the devil said, if you are the Son of God, all these stones, turn them to bread. And Jesus answered and said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But the devil wasn't satisfied with that. So he took him to a holy city to the highest point. And he once again tried to tempt Jesus. And he said, command the angels concerning you that they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to test. And again, a third time, the devil took him and showed him the kingdoms and the worlds and his splendor. And he said to Jesus, all this I give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him again a third time, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left. You may say, the devil tempted him three times. He's been tempting me all my life. Did you tell him what the word said? Did you decide I will submit to God and so the enemy can flee? Or did you submit to that? See, we have to understand the things that Jesus did with his great and awesome sacrifice. And although he did it, criticisms in the 19th century even said that Jesus was an anti-nature, meaning they were even questioning his sexuality. See, they'll come at all types of angles against you because of envy. According to the scriptures, Jesus was betrayed in Matthew 26:47-56, Mark 14:43-52. According to the scriptures, Jesus stood trial before Pilate, according to Matthew 27:11-14, Mark 15:2-5. And they even tried to send him to Herod, but Herod just returned him back to Pilate. And then after all of that, Jesus was sentenced to death because the religious leaders condemned him. And because they condemned him and Pilate sentenced him in exchange for Barabbas to death, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was struck naked, he was given a crown of thorns, he was scourged. My. And then he was led to Calvary for each one of us. And even a soldier there, or the soldiers were assigned to drive nails through his wrist and his ankle, affixing him to the cross. And they put a sign above his head that said, the King of the Jews. He hung on that cross for approximately 6 hours. The soldiers even cast lots for his clothing. The onlookers shouted insults and jeers against him. And the very earth quaked and shook, and the temple curtain ripped half from the top to the bottom when Jesus died. But see, these accusations and oppositions that came against him were even from the Sanhedrin. They said that Jesus was accused of blasphemy. They're the ones that led him to the arrest and to the trial and to the crucifixion. They called him a false prophet. But remember, the Sanhedrin were the police force during that day and time. And although many were saying that Jesus was delusional, filled with demons and insane, some of them said that even his miracles of exorcism that he demonstrated was hallucinated by the people. But those Pharisees and Sadducees, they were determined in their envy and in their jealousy to accuse Jesus of violating a Masonic law. But guess what? They were the ones teaching that he was coming. They said Jesus didn't adhere to the ritual of washing his hands before a meal. Can you imagine how many people would die, not just in America, all over the world, for not washing their hands before they eat? He was associated with tax collectors and sinners. because he had came to save the lost, not those that thought they were found. They criticized him for allowing his disciples to cook and gather grain, such as working on the Sabbath. They accused him of a disregard for their legalistic practices that led to the conflict. What are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Sanhedrin saying about you? They still exist today. See, the poison of envy escorted Jesus to his divine, God-given destiny, which led to him being nailed to the cross, which caused him to have 7 unique sayings that everyone even talks about today. First, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in Luke 24:34. Have you said that? How many people have you asked God to forgive and to be forgiven for knowingly or even unknowingly sabotaging you or trying to sabotage you? For hating you for no reason? For trying to help others hate you for no reason? Just think about this. In your entire life, how many strangers, families, friends, so-called friends, colleagues, etc., have you had to ask God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Challenge on today, this day, decree and declare to God that as the people are carrying out their poisonous assignment of envy to escort me and others to our divine God-given destiny, I will ask you, Father God, to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then secondly, he told the people standing on his right and left, standing on the cross, if they can stand on the ground, they were nailed to the cross, wrists and feet, or ankles, to be honest. How many people want to be in your shoes? How many people want to carry their cross daily, as we've been called to do? How many people disrespect you just to see if they can cause you to lose your focus and miss out on your divine-given blessing from God, which is to be with him in paradise? And that third saying that he said was, "Woman, behold your son," in John 19:26. And this was at the crucifixion, where he saw Mary, his earthly mother, standing next to John. Remember? John, the disciple whom the Bible says he loved. The very meaning of that was he was saying and addressing her to let her know that although he was about to be crucified, he was entrusting her care to John, which symbolized that he truly trusted John. Who do you trust? Who would you give sole care of your loved ones and your things too, because you truly love them? Spiritual bonds connect believers. Spiritual bonds even connect family if we let it. See, the very moment that we know we have to sacrifice our life, our finances, our community, our relationships to God, we're saying to God, "God, I don't know how you're going to do it, But this relationship that you've given me with my family, with my community, with Smile3E, or other Christ-like platforms, I've given it to Minister Sylvia for Sundays, for Mondays, for Wednesdays, for Fridays, because I trust you, God. And I trust the God that's on the inside of her, that is you, to take these Christ-like platforms higher and higher, as her and her partner in the sacrifice of giving up what our flesh wants for what our God wants. And we do it willingly. We do it diligently. No excuses. No lies. None of those things that would cause us to focus on our imperfections, but we give them to you, God. Because we get up every Sunday morning. Early. We devote our lives every Monday night. She devotes. And I support her on every Wednesday. And she devoutly devotes, once again, herself every Friday night. And then we jointly work together with others in ministry, like Dr. Serena Wright and Pastor Troy and Minister Ron and Missionary Tony and so many others, Reverend Lawrence, Minister Margot. So many, and over the years, so many have come and gone because they're seasoned. They did what they were supposed to do. But at some point, when our heart gets overwhelmed, like Jesus, we say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And just as the first Adam, and he took the forbidden fruit that caused the first offense of the imperfection of God's creation, Jesus took on that which the first Adam was supposed to do, but he didn't. Because see, remember, for sin, there has to be a blood sacrifice for renewal and for a new beginning. But even in Adam and Eve's time, and because of their sin, that blood sacrifice of the perfect animal, that blood sacrifice of this or that had to be done over and over and over again. But see, when the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was done, that was the final sacrifice. That was the final sacrifice. That was the final sacrifice. And his name was Jesus, God of the universe. God of Abraham and Isaac, God of the Seabirds and the Kaisers, God of this world, the one and only true and living God, the big G, not the little G, not the various cults that allows you to allow your flesh to rule, but that one, that Jesus, while nailed to the cross, over 6 hours in bitter agony and guilt and shame for us. He purchased our redemption. And he said, I thirst. You know why he said he thirsts? Because his lips and his throat needed to be moistened even in the midst of the final victory. Remember when he told the woman at the well that she would thirst no more? He thirsted for the earthly water, but yet God used him to give us the redemption and the atonement and the restoration and the reconciliation so that we would never thirst again. The Son of Man said, it was said in Luke 18:31 that everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets was accomplished. Psalms 22 even reminded us that Jesus would say, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Psalm 69:21 reminded us that he would say, for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. They didn't give him water. Turn water that Jesus suffered for mankind illustrates our thirst for the spiritual deliverance of the final high priest that endured the pains and the discomforts and the sin afflicted world had placed upon him that is talked about in Hebrews 4:15. He bore the thirst curse that was talked about in the Old Testament when God threatened to make unfaithful Israel a parched land and filled with thirst in Hosea 2:3 and Deuteronomy 28:28. Jesus inserted himself into the very plea that the rich man had when he was sent to hell. He said, dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am anguished in this flame. That's what he wanted God to allow Lazarus to do for him. Well, Jesus is that fountain of living water that would heal ourselves, that broken censer that can hold no water. We are the thirsty. We are the ones that are parched with thirst. Therefore, he gives us the water of eternal life, the answer, where Revelation 7:16 says, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. For the next thing he has said, it is finished. That's the sixth thing of the seventh in John 19:30. Which denotes that the prophecies of the scriptures, old and new, had been fulfilled, just as it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. Because remember, the Old Testament is concealed. And now the New Testament reveals the revelatory knowledge of the judgment of sin. From Genesis 3:21, when Adam and Eve sinned and they tried to cover it up, but he gave them garments from the skin of animals, to cover them. See, the price that needs to be paid for sin is judgment. Iniquities, God's demand for justice, the forgiveness of sin was made available through the shedding of blood, Jesus' blood. Thank you, Jesus. But he didn't stop there, for he rose. He woke up. He rose, hallelujah, which is the very foundation of what happened, because he demonstrated that he, as Lord, has power over sin and death and the grave. So it's our foundational hope. It's our foundational faith. It's our foundational belief that in his last final scene, he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," in Luke 23 and 46, which lets us know, although Lazarus on the fourth day was risen by Jesus and he walked and lived amongst mankind again, Jesus, when he committed his spirit unto God, he was resurrected. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, "We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But we can be assured that we too will rise." It has been said that death for a Christian, for a believer, is pointless. Whether it's because of an injury or an illness, is pointless. Why? Because we'll rise again. Be encouraged. It's only a new beginning for us on the other side. Think about how the disciples' deaths impacted the people. But we know the crucifixion and betrayal of Jesus was because envy had blinded others to think that they could harm or stop the destiny of God. Just like with you, there's religious, societal structures and people and authorities and positions and relationships with you that are assigned because of envy to try to destroy you and cause you to miss out on your divine assignment. Let them worry about their assignment. Let them do their assignment and you do yours. Learn how to celebrate people even as they successfully try to destroy you. Why? Because their envy is part of your assignment. I know you ain't want to hear that, but hear me. Hear the Lord through me. Envy has been assigned to escort you. You in great company. Just like it escorted Jesus, who rose again, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I all day long. Unknowingly, they are assigned to escort you to your God-given destiny. And some of them even know it. We win. He remains victorious. We can experience this, we can experience that. But one thing we will definitely have an opportunity to experience, those Garden of Gethsemane moments when we will have to say to God, "Not my will, but your will be done." Those moments when we're betrayed by those that eat at the same table with us, that we hang out in clubs with. But just as Jesus said it's finished and he commended his spirit back unto them, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, you too must ask him to forgive those trespasses and those that are indebted to you. Because they're escorting you to your God-given destiny. Accept what God allows. Because the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords stayed focused and fulfilled his destiny. No tit for that. No tat for that. No tit tat, tat that, whatever. Let it go. Trust God. and allow envy to escort you to your God-given destiny. And ask God to forgive them, whether they know what they're doing or not, because you are going to reign, because you're going to keep your focus on your God-given assignment and complete it. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's assigned to you. And God's going to use you to do everything he promised you he would do. Why? Because he loves you. Pause and think about that. Minister Sylvia, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Lord, for the service today. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for us having ears to hear what you said to the body of Christ. We want to just say, God, again, we are so happy to be able to say, I live to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the year 2024. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching me that envy is a part of the assignment. Thank you for giving me a heart and a mouth to request and ask you for help staying on assignment. God, I thank you so, so much for being the living God that you are and to take on the sins of the world that I am living in. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone on the line that would like to make a comment or just give God honor and praise for today? The lines are open. Go ahead. Okay. If not, every Sunday morning, God gives us the opportunity to start the day off with him by listening to Smile 3E, our Sharpening Iron Ministries at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, through the Blog Talk Radio service that's worldwide web. We thank God for this opportunity for us to be able to go to church, come from church, go to work, come from work, or just sit around the house, that we get a chance to hear his word giving from a woman of God that is truly in love with Jesus. We thank you all for supporting the woman of God on Sunday mornings, whether you listen to it live or you listen to it on the replay. We want to thank you for always being a part of the program that God has allowed you to participate in. We want to thank you all for coming out back on Monday night, looking at us live on Facebook and or listening to us on Blog Talk Radio from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the first Monday of the month tomorrow, and our speaker will be Dr. Serena Wright. She will be bringing forth the Word of God. She will be serving up the day after the Resurrection Day. She will be telling us what God has put on her heart to share with the body of Christ, that we may be enlightened on what God is doing, what God has done, and what God is saying. We want to thank you all for joining in on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time for our Wisdom Wednesday that we do on Facebook Live. We want to thank you for sharing that, tuning in, listening, and just being a part of the Wisdom Wednesday. We want to thank you all for tuning in on Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear what God has to say on Smile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron, Let's Talk through Facebook as well as the World Wide Web with Blog Talk. We are so excited to be able to listen to what God has placed in our hearts that we can go back and hear on the archives or the replay, that the message that God gives us, it applies at home first, and then it would apply to the rest of you all. We want to say thank you all for praying for Smile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries, as well as our leaders, our ministers, our pastors, prophets, apostles, and teachers. We want to just keep Minister Margot McCord, Pastor Servant Troy Thomas, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Dr. Serena Wright, Evangelist Tony and Minister Ron Montgomery, Reverend Lawrence, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Keep us and our families up before you. Keep up with us and our families up before your prayer, on the top of your prayer list. We want to just say, God, we just thank you for everything. Everything that you're doing with this ministry, allowing it to grow, keeping our leaders on the altar. Pray for them one by one, and seriously, pray for them on purpose. Excuse me. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So with you all knowing that this is our prayer and our statement and our motto for our program, please seek God on today to give him that extra thank you. If you didn't give it no other day, don't let it be about the outfit, the new suit, the new tie, the new hat. Don't let it be about that, the new shoes and all. No, no. Let it be about the new desire you have in your heart for the Lord. Ask God to take that desire and just put a seal on it that you have placed yourself under Holy Ghost arrest. In Jesus' name, we pray that you heard something on today. Amen. It's back in your hands, Apostle.
Amen. I pray if you haven't heard anything else, we accept what God allows. We say, God, be it unto us according to your word. We say and declare, not my will, but your will be done. We don't focus on and ponder about the assignment of jealousy and evil in our lives and envy. But we trust God. Trust him. He got you covered. But most of all, know that he got up and he's interceding for you and I on today. So if you don't know him, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was virgin born, that he lived, he died, he was buried, but he got up. And because of that, our faith and our hope is in Jesus, the only way back to restoration and to reconciliation with God. So I pray that you've accepted him on today and know that the angels in heaven are singing and praising, and we are too. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Welcome to the family, the church, the real church of God, the body, the real body of Christ. So until next Sunday and until tomorrow, when it's Dr. Serena Wright on Iron Sharpening Iron. Bye-bye.
Father God, I thank you for today, for to be able to pray. Lord, I ask you to help us, especially me, Lord, for not to get so busy, so overwhelmed, so consumed that I forget about prayer. When I know I've asked you and you granted me this time to pray with my family. God, even if they don't get a chance or see the importance of coming around into prayer at this time, I'm going to speak it over them that they do, God, and that we get a earning, we get a desire, we get a optioning, an up in our spirit that we want to pray for one another. Not to just wait till we see one another, but God, we get a chance to just hear one another. We will be in a hurry. We will be in a rush. We will be in an awe. God, I thank you for today. This is the opportunity for us to pray safe travel over us, God, as we travel to and fro from one state to the next state, God, where you have Indiana on one side and you have Wisconsin on the other side, as they're traveling to and from each state into the state of Illinois, where we're coming together, God. We ask you to put a hedge around each and every vehicle, God, each and every driver, God, each and every rider, God, each and every passenger, God, each and every car that's traveling alongside, in front, behind, across the lines, God. We just ask you to cover, keep safe, oh God. Even the ones driving up and down the street or the local expressways or highways, God, we just ask you to keep us covered. Keep your blood edge around us, oh God. Keep your hand on us that we will not be sick going to, get sick at the part of it. God, no asthma attacks, no food poisoning, God. Anything and everything that has been attempted to make this day not be a glorious day, not to let you get the glory out of seeing us as family get together to give you glory, honor, and praise. God, we ask you to put the axe at the root right now, oh Lord. God, we ask you to just cover us from top to bottom, head to toe, from the youngest, Tatum, all the way up to the oldest, Lewis, oh God. Everyone that want to make it, God, we ask you to make a way. Everyone that has a heart to make it, God, we ask you to make a way. Everyone that can't make it, God, we ask you to let them be blessed, knowing that they wanted to make it, oh God. God, that every hand is going forth to prepare a meal, be blessed, be clean, be just honoring you on today. God, it's so much we can ask you for. It's so much we can talk to you about, God. But one thing we will say, God, is thank you. Thank you as a family getting together jointly to give you everything that's yours, oh God. God, you didn't have to do it, but you did. And we thank you. God, you didn't have to do it, but you accepted the assignment. And we thank you. God, you didn't have to do it, but you said, I will take it. We thank you for not giving up in the middle, not giving up at the end, just seeing through, God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. God, no matter how we say it or how many times we said, we can never say it enough. But God, we thank you that it took 4,000 years from God to go from Adam to the old Adam to the new Adam. But when you did do it, God, you did it, and you did it good. God, we want to say thank you that you could let your son, only living son, become you, come down here on this earth, see what we saw, felt what we felt, went through what we went through, mindset, the options to think the way we think, but you did it, and you did it without complaining, without saying, I ain't come down here for this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for not changing your mind. I say it again and again. We thank you for seeing it through. I say it again and again. We thank you for coming into our hearts and our mind and our spirit. I say it again and again. We thank you for forgiving us for the silly little things we do that we make a molehill out of. We thank you for forgiving us for everything we do that does not give you honor and glory, that brings shame upon your name, that brings shame to the kingdom, that you forgive us. God, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to raise our hands and ask you for forgiveness, to open our mouths and ask you for forgiveness, to lay on the altar and hold on to the horns of the altar and ask you for forgiveness. God, please make it important in our spirit that we keep helping one another. We keep reminding one another. We keep assisting one another when it comes to prayer, when it comes to loving on each other, when it comes to encouragement, when it comes to what we need to do. No more I, but God, you. Teach us how to see each other as you see each other, as a soul. Teach us how to get out of your way, God. Especially me, oh Lord. Teach me how to not do things my way, but your way, God. To seek you, oh Lord. Seek you first. God, we trust you on today. We trust you on tomorrow. God, we trust you forever and ever. God, we trust you. Let your will be done today, God. As the woman of God ministered earlier, God, teach us how to accept what you allow. Teach us how to accept what you allow. God, as we go to 944, whether we're taking Interstate 57, 55, 94, 90, 294, God, whatever, however we're traveling, God, we ask you for mercy and grace. Lester Seabury Brown, Sinclair, Kaiser, Wright, Merritt, Thomas, Dickens. Bless us, oh God. The Harris, God, bless us, oh God. God, I don't want to leave a name out, but bless us, oh God. Bless Minister Brandon for his birthday, oh Lord. Take him back to when he was a soldier in your army and he was so in love with you. Take him back, oh God. God, I thank you for giving him the heart to love his family the way he did. But God, give his family the heart to love him even the more. Give him the heart to push him back into your calling. Push him back into your way. Push him back to keeping you first. God, when we don't know what to pray, teach us how to just moan. Teach us how to just ask you to word our mouth, oh God. God, cover Taiwan House, Big Fluffy. Cover Tiana, Kai, Adrian, Charlie, Shonda, Naya, Tay-Tay, Tyshana, AJ. God, cover them, Charlie. And Ray, God. Cover her, God. Touch her heart and her mind in a special way, oh God. There's some things she's dealing with, oh God. Take away the confusion, oh Lord. Open her mind and her heart that she will see you. And when she can't, she will call on your name and ask you to open the eyes to her heart, Lord. Open the eyes to her mind, Lord. God, I ask you to touch Wiggles and Lulu and Chi and Yak in a special way, oh Lord. Open the eyes to their heart and their mind, Lord. Let them see you, God, as never before. Let them see you, God,
in a way that they don't even know that you exist. But that when they see you, God, they take you seriously, and they want to know you even the more. God, we place them under Holy Ghost. Keep our heads around them, oh God. Open up their understanding and mind, God. Whatever was done in the past, whatever was taken in the past, whatever habits was formed in the past, God, that persist on, God, we ask you to just take it away, destroy it, put the axe at the root, oh God. We ask you to build them up, oh Lord. Build them up, oh God. God, we ask you to get a hold to Stan and Stanley and myself, God. Give us a heart to love for real. Give us a heart to love with respect for one another. Give us a heart to love you on the up and the up. God, you know what I mean by that, oh Lord. Give us a heart to stand before you, God. Everything from the past, every habit, every future habits, every past habits, oh God, we ask you to put an axe at the root, oh Lord. We ask you to come through and build and bind. Bind up the strong man, God. Build up the new man, oh God. God, we just ask you to cover our son all the days of his life. Give him his heart's desire, God. Take him back when he to the place when he was proud to be called the man of God. When he loved you, oh God. As you get to the heart of his father, God, when he found out what the true prayer meant and when he prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ and he began to see the visions and the requests that he put up before you come true, take him back to that place, oh Lord. Take him back to that place where he desired to serve you. Take him back to his word, to his promise that he made. To his son, to you, the son of God, to me, to himself, God. Take him back to that place that he will see first fruits that he gave come to pass. God, I thank you for Pinky and Carvon and little Carlton and big Carlton and Hector, oh God. Thank you for them, oh Lord. Keep them covered. Keep touching the heart of Pinky, oh Lord. Let her know that she don't have to always be the boss or in control of the family actions. God, open her heart and her mind. God, for that this family has a spell of love of money. God, let us understand that we will make it. You are our source and our resource. We will make it. You are everything to us, God. You are Alpha and Omega. We will make it because you are our beginning and our end. We will make it because you said that you're on a cattle on a thousand hills. We will make it because of the bloodline blessings that fell down our grandmother's heart and down our grandfather's beard. God, the oil is running down George and Molly Seabury's heart and beard, God. Let it continue to cover our family down to the 100th generation, oh God, and let them pray even further. For God, we thank you. We know how much you love us, God, that you gave your only begotten son, that who willingly took on the assignment, who willingly let them beat him, torture him, embarrass him, disrespect him. He took it like that, God, because he knew you loved us so. It said, for you so loved the world, you so loved the world, that you gave, God. You gave to us first and then you gave us your only begotten. God, let us have a whosoever in our spirit. Let us have a whosoever in our spirit. Let us have a whosoever believe in our spirit that you rose on the third day, that you took the keys from Satan and hell, that you conquered death for our sake, that with you, God, all things are possible. Put that down in us, O Lord. But we will get it. We will understand it. We will receive it. And we will share with others. That is not a mistake or a happenstance, but it's a privilege to just have a desire to serve the Lord and serve Him with all my heart. God, forgive me for any and every time me or my family, forgive us, have embarrassed the body of Christ, have embarrassed the kingdom of God, have embarrassed you, O God. Where we said we serve you out of one mouth, but our actions showed a separate thing. God, forgive us. Teach us how to be mindful. Teach us how to be mindful, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. God, I won't take it back, and before I do, I'll add more to it. If there's anyone else on the line that would like to join in on the prayer, please do so at this time. Amen.
Father God, I agree with every prayer that has been prayed, and teach us how to lead from the front. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen. If that's it, I pray, God, don't let me forget again. Don't let me get overwhelmed with what's going on that I forget. In Jesus' name it is so. Amen. See y'all in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.